Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Come to Papa podcast, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. I'm here in the studio with the one and only Mr. Paul Morrissey.
Thank you, Tom.
We are taking on a new character. This is the robotic, soothing sounds of Come to Papa.
That sounds like your haunted house butler voice.
Could we last the whole way? Could we do the whole thing that way?
Come in. Nothing is the matter here.
Everybody, welcome to the podcast. This is the soothing podcast where you get to enjoy all the beautiful things that the day has in store for you. That would be pretty. I bet that would catch on.
But that's when you're like a mess in your regular life. Like, isn't that? I forget.
Everyone's a mess.
No, but what movie was that where it's the guy who's like the jazz DJ and he's like smashing records and then finally gets on the mic? He's like, "This is the sound of Smooth Sam." Like, he's just like super calm, like all heroined out, but he's like,
and then
just smashing records and yelling at everybody.
The dulcet sounds. Yeah, I think that people would find it very soothing.
Too soothing.
It would be like those unboxing, what do they call those things on YouTube when it's like some small little thing, like somebody brushing their hair or somebody opening a box.
It's like an abbreviation. It's like SDMA or something like that.
Yeah, it's like you're a mess. You're a mess, so watch this thing go slowly.
Oh, no. There's, like, a thing now where it's, like, all like, audible stuff. Like, it's people saying, "I'm going to brush my hair now."
Yeah. There's a whole kind of YouTube videos.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't get what the whole purpose is. Like,
doing small things. Small things, that's not it.
But is it all women doing the voices? Is it like
No, it's not even like, I don't think he even talks sometimes.
Oh, the one that I heard about was like people talking, but they're like
ASMR.
Yes, that's it.
ASMR, inside the bizarre world. These people make a living with bizarre, repetitive YouTube videos that give users pins and needles.
But what does that stand for, though?
Autonomous sensory meridian response.
Yeah.
She'll never physically touch her millions of viewers, but people seek her videos out to feel the tingling sensation that her clips give them, allowing them to unwind or go to bed. It's very pleasant, natural high state that you want more of. The demand for Maria's videos is so great that she's one of a handful of people. Oh, I just lost it.
So it is always a woman then?
No, they're just highlighting this woman.
Oh, okay.
872,000 subscribers. Her top five videos alone have amassed over 47 million views. While she won't disclose how much she's making, she knows it's enough for her to have a comfortable living just doing these very soothing little videos.
And it's easier than her job at Walmart. Yeah, it's creepy, dude.
Ha! It's kind of, she's kind of seducing them. It's almost like Goosebumps, they say.
It's super creepy, and the one thing I don't like is that they have some kind of compression on the mic that, like, you know when you hear, like, somebody's mouth clicking or, like, the spit inside their mouth almost? Like, you can hear everything. It's, like, too much.
So let's do that, but we'll do, does anyone do ASMR podcasts? That's something we have to look up. ASMR podcast. It have to be. We can't be the first people to think.
We're just setting ourselves up for punchlines about, like, I fall asleep to you guys all the time.
In episode 76 of the ASMR podcast, we welcome back the ubiquitous Ariel ASMR. Today she's going to rummage in her wardrobe to see what triggers she can find. Oh my God.
And you guys think that people aren't working hard enough in our society.
I think it's the same woman.
See, it's like too much extra, like, clicking. I couldn't fall asleep to this.
It's so weird. People are weirdos. Well, I guess we missed that opportunity.
What do you fall asleep to? Or you just work until you're tired?
The sounds in my head.
Yeah?
Yeah, the voices in my head that say, it's time to sleep, you jerk.
No, but you don't listen to, because I have experimented with, like, you can listen to or fall asleep to a movie that you've already seen because you don't worry about seeing it again. Mm-hmm. Or you listen to, like, a radio show or something that you're not really, like, you don't have to listen to everything. But I definitely can't fall asleep to music for some reason. Uh-huh. Just, like, the lyrics and stuff, it's just not.
Yeah, I can't listen to anything. TV, music. I mean, I guess, well, but the music at some point will wake me up. I try not to listen to anything.
I can't even write to music. It's distracting to me.
Can you write to music without lyrics?
It's tough. I've tried to do it. I've tried to listen to something, but it always, like, kind of sets the mood. And I like whatever I'm writing to kind of set that. You know what I mean? It changes what I do. Like, if I'm listening to jazz or classical, it's kind of changing the whole, like,
you get a little busy.
The theme of the fart jokes, you know?
Yeah. You got to mellow them out. Thank you to everybody that's been watching. You're doing great.
Well, congratulations to you, Tom. I was there, but I got a chance to see the full special. And I think you should be very proud of it. And I think, you know, you've done specials in the past, but how do you feel about, like, you know, not that this is, like, your first big thing, but, like, I think as far as, like, a Netflix thing and being, you know, in the prime of your stand-up, because you're only going to get worse from here on out.
That's for sure. We definitely peaked this week. It's good. The reception's been amazing. It's been overwhelming. You know, it definitely hits a lot more people than the other specials have hit because of the power of Netflix.
Right.
And it's just been overwhelmingly positive. There's just been so many people. And I think the timing of it kind of worked out because it was such a tumultuous week in the news and the corona and the Trumpster and all the stuff, the impeachment. And it was just such a chaotic week that people were feeling frazzled and stuff. And that this special was like kind of railing against anxiety and stuff and telling people that they're doing great, which has been my tour for the whole, you know, last 2-3 years. The timing of it, people were really grateful that it came out. And I can't tell you, I've never had something that was received by more people and more positivity, which is great because the whole thing is about being about positivity.
Yeah.
So to have it be received that way has been really, really great. So thank you to everybody that's been watching it and telling their, and that's the other thing. Colin called, and he was like, "This is a real word of mouth kind of a thing." He said, "People like it and are telling everybody else that they have to read it, and you can feel it spreading."
Yeah, that's great.
Which has been a very cool thing. So, yeah.
It's a well. I mean, my, you know, obviously you've been doing, you know, comedy for a long time, and you're very visible, and people have been fans of yours for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that whenever I'm talking to, like, industry people or, like, agents, and they'll ask about my comedy, And
right.
And they're like, well, I heard you're clean. Are you, you know, is that like a choice or is that? And I'm like, well, I feel like right now I have two friends that has tweeted something that just made their careers disappear. So I feel like being positive is not only like the smart thing to do career wise, yeah. but like, you know, and yeah. it's still people look at you with two heads if you're just like, I just want to make people laugh and you know yeah. what I mean? Like, what, you don't want to like
yeah.
say something to change people's minds. You don't want to like.
I know. I was talking to somebody today on the radio show and they were talking about like what the audience wants these days is this and that. And I was like, I said, well, but what do you like doing? You
yeah.
know, it really comes down to that. You know, you can't kind of pretend that you think that you know what the audience wants and then pretend to serve it up and pretend that that's what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, even if the world was like, no, we only want sex jokes and I have none. Well, I'm not going to start telling them just because I have a feeling like they're catching. You just got to be yourself and do what you do. And, you know, we just don't kind of live in that world. So...
Yeah, but it feels like a more positive place, and most people that end up coming to your show or our shows
yeah.
or listen to our shows are always like, wow, that's like made me feel better, or like I don't feel as like negative or...
Yeah, you want them to go out feeling good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, I said to somebody that I always like art that gives me hope, and like even Carlin, as I was a huge fan of George Carlin, and... There was a couple specials towards the end where he didn't give you any hope. It was just total nihilism, and it was like, you know, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks. Good night.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh. But look, I understand. But his specials that I really liked was this sucks, this sucks.
Yeah, but did you figure that out?
And then at the end he would say, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
That, you know, you need that to keep carrying on.
So his last one is one of my favorite ones. I really liked it, and I think he only lived another month after he taped it. Like mm-hmm. he put everything into it, and it was just this very like it was him. Like it was the most him that I've ever seen it, and him just being like looking back on his life.
Uh-huh.
But that one that you're talking about,
yeah.
that's the one that he was actually like clinically depressed. Like he right. went to rehab like right after that, and.
Is that the one with the graveyards?
Yeah,
in the back?
Like something about dying or something yeah. like that.
Yeah,
that's no, what I Dana Gould told me that when he right. did like an interview with him, and then he found out like, oh yeah, that's why that one was so dark.
So dark, yeah. And so I just like things to be a little more hopeful, and that's what it was. And it seems like it's caught on for sure, which has been really pretty great. So now we've got to move into new stuff. And then the book went up for pre-sale.
Nice.
So people can get You're Doing Great and Other Reasons to Stay Alive.
So that's the same title plus an extra
yeah.
sentence.
And there's like, it's because it's based on the same theme. There's a couple jokes in there, but it's all pretty much fresh material.
Yeah.
And that's going to come out in May, but people can pre-order it now, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
So You're Doing Great is out there in the world, and I just feel like, all right, that's good. We made something good. We made something that was quality,
right?
And let's try and do it again.
And that's the fun part too. Like you do Joe Rogan, and people are always like, "Oh yeah, Tom's like too nice for Rogan." It's like he's been doing that show for years. They're yeah. like friends,
right?
And you don't have to be like a UFC guy or
yeah.
anything. Like it's just funny how people don't realize. Like, oh no, you're just funny. You can get along with everyone.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. No, it's been great, and yeah, Rogan's audience was great. I mean, it's all been super, super positive. Like, it's been a you know, sometimes you do these things and you feel like, oh, it didn't catch or whatever, or you have to explain to people what network you're on because they don't have it or, you know,
yeah.
that kind of thing.
Or you say the wrong thing, like in the moment, like in an interview, and it gets turned around or something yeah. strange about yeah. what you wore, people.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been super cool. I've been happy about it. And then we're going to go out on tour and do it again. And you and I are going to be, what's the first one we're doing, Nashville?
No, Ponte Vedra.
Oh, we're going to Florida.
Florida.
Ponte Vedra and
Clearwater, Florida, the Capitol Theater. Key West, Florida, which I...
In Key West, that one's going to be good. Did you book a flight out of Key West? Because we're going separate places, and I flew you in, but I wasn't sure where you were going out.
I put in, like, a car rental thing.
Oh, that's right. You're driving someplace.
Because I think I'm going to try to go to my parents for a couple days after and see the Yankees. The Yankees play that Saturday. Or no, yeah. Friday. It's Friday when we're there.
All right, so baseball's coming back.
It's here.
Do you have any part of you that's like... Well, the Houston Astros killed baseball.
Well, there is that feeling that...
It feels like now we're like the Tour de France after Lance.
There's a feeling that they shouldn't be a team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it would be like, you guys just sit out this year.
Yeah.
Because it's... I mean, it's dangerous for... Listen,
it
I was...
It stinks. They shouldn't be allowed to play.
Well, I'm a... You know, I worked in sports for a few years and... If you look at it from baseball's perspective, it's like, okay, these guys cheated.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't have won the World Series either year. I mean, their fans are admitting this.
Yeah.
But just for baseball, they're treating it like when Mark McGwire and Barry Bonds cheated. It's like you can't – if you start, like, taking records away, then it changes the whole history of the game, and they're just trying to, like, move forward without too much, like –
damage.
Turmoil, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't want it to be damaging, but guess what? You don't do anything, it's worse.
Yeah.
Now we think, like, so it's going to happen again.
Well, I think – So weird. You know, because, you know, the Red Sox are obviously – you know, kind of get, you know, they lost their coach.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the Astros are probably going to lose just about every player. I know they lost.
What's going to happen to that creep Altuve?
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, that's trouble to even walk around because they haven't even gotten to the bottom of, was he wearing like an electrical thing? Is there a guy? It's 100 times worse than, like, Deflategate, if that was even real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. And it's like that one, like, he's the one player that you have video evidence of it.
Yeah.
Or at least enough to make you look into it. And it doesn't seem like they're looking into it.
Well, I think they're trying to do, like, you know, as much... They're trying to, like, admit as much as they can without causing as much upheaval. You know what I mean? Like, I think even... Behind closed doors, they're telling the owners not to say too much until after the investigation and just hope that it blows over. But I think even the Yankees, one of the Steinbrenners was just like, yeah, that makes you think that we could have won the World Series that year.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy.
It's tough to move forward.
We root for them from this point, February, when pitchers and catchers show up.
Yeah.
And you're with them all through spring training, and you go and you see them in Florida, and then we go to opening day, and mm-hmm. then we follow them all summer, and we meet up with different friends and have our traditions and go all the way, and then get into the postseason. You're mm-hmm. so happy, and you've formed a relationship watching these players that have worked really hard and stayed healthy. Or maybe they didn't and they struggled back, and you go the whole way with a multitude of stories, and then you just miss and it's a heartbreak. You almost got to the World Series and you suck it up and you say, it's all right, we'll get them next year.
Yeah.
You dust off and go through the winter feeling bad about yourself, and then to know that they stole it from you.
Yeah.
It makes it tough to show up at spring training again.
Well, it's
unless you take Altuve and you bench him.
Yeah, it's because here's the thing. I have two feelings, just as, like, a competitive person. You're like, okay, if somebody is stealing your signs and it seems like they're hitting everything that you're putting up,
mm-hmm.
then why are you giving signals? Or why, you know what I mean? Why aren't you guys, like, you know, calling your own pitches and not making it stealable? But, I mean, that goes to show you, like, they went to, the next level because there's no way, you know, let's say we're changing the signs. There's no way that somebody from the dugout could tell them what pitch is coming, right? Like, there's
– Yeah.
And they were. So
– Yeah.
It was, like, you know, a crazy high-tech – you know, that's why they're not even allowed to have iPhones in the dugouts because – they think people are giving them tips or whatever.
So obviously they're not going to ban them from baseball, and they're going to come back and they're going to play.
I think
there's, I mean, they've got to be at spring training right now.
I think there's probably an unspoken rule that these guys are kind of blackballed, you know?
Like, they are, but I mean, they're going to suit up.
Well, I mean, every game that Altuve plays, he's going to get booed.
That's what I'm saying. They're not, they're going to be playing.
Yeah, I mean,
and whenever they go, it's going to be, I hope the reception is harsh.
My guess is he's going to end up getting traded or going to another team. I think they kind of want to erase the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a bunch of weird stuff. Like, you know, there's been steroid awful stuff. That Verlander guy that's like 48 and still pitching like amazing.
Yeah.
And then there's like, remember the 22-year-old guy who was the shortstop got his rib broke by a masseuse?
Wait, what's Verlander?
Well, there's always...
They suspect him he's on steroids?
Like HGH. Like, he was kind of like Clemens was when he was in his 40s. Like, he's just like...
But never busted.
No. I don't... Not that I believe so, but it was always like, well, why is he pitching? Why is he having the best years of his career in his mid-40s? Like, it was the exact same trend as Clemens. That's when Clemens started taking, like, the HGH and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. In Houston, by the way.
Indians pitcher, I'm just reading a random headline. Indian pitchers, this is from 2018. Indians pitcher Trevor Bauer insinuates there's something fishy going on with the Astros pitchers and MLB rules. Ooh.
Oh, yeah? What's
Indians
that?
Indians starting pitcher Trevor Bauer isn't shy about creating controversy on Twitter. In his latest episode, he comes pretty close to accusing the Astros pitching staff of cheating. He dances around it, insinuates it some, but in totality, it's pretty clear that's the spin.
Oh. As far as...
if there's only one way... their spin rate. If only there was just a really quick way to increase spin rate. Like, what if you could trade for a player knowing that you could bump his spin rate a couple hundred RPM overnight? Imagine the steals you could get on the trade market. What?
So is he intimating that
vague,
they're taking
but
stuff?
But it's clear there's a sarcastic implication here. Astros starter Lance McCullers took umbrage. What's really weird, too, is that the Yankees now have, what's his name, from the Astros.
The one guy, yeah. But I think, you know, that's what Clemens and Pettit didn't get accused for anything until they went to the Astros. Remember, that was when all that stuff came back on Clemens. And it was like, you know, you did grab a bat in midair and throw it at a guy. Maybe you're on steroids.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Isn't that the craziest play in baseball
history? So crazy.
History?
It was weird. It was like this weird violent outburst.
It scared Mike Piazza.
As noted, though, Bauer doesn't straight up say the Astros are cheating. Totally, the message is just that. He's saying Astros pitchers are using sticky foreign substances to increase their spin rate, which helps their breaking stuff and velocity, which he was probably right.
Yeah.
You know, this is just, if they're cheating one way, why wouldn't they cheat another way? With fastballs, Justin Verlander is first in spin rate among starting pitchers. On curveballs, Charlie Morton is second among qualified starters after Garrett Richards, while Verlander is in the top 10.
And he's like 44 or something.
So this is 2 years before, or a year and a half before the scandal broke. And...
Oh, that's years
other
ago.
People,
okay.
Other pitchers were like, these guys are dirty. They knew that they were dirty, but didn't know how or why.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean,
it's definitely a culture. So if, like, you know, if it's coming from the top that you guys do anything you can to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got a guy running the video relay in the hallway.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't the pitchers be like, let's call one of the Negroes and ask how they put a spitball on there or do something else?
Here you go. This is 4 hours ago.
Uh-oh.
Finally, one of the Astros' biggest cheaters apologizes. I'm remorseful for everything that happened.
Whoa. What's the link, though? Is it like an official?
New Jersey Magazine.
Hmm.
NJ.com. Finally, we're getting some regret from Houston Astro player who cheated his way. The first public apology from a position player came Tuesday from Minnesota Twins infielder, outfielder, Marwin Gonzalez, who apparently did a lot of cheating in 2017 when he was an Astros regular. He said, "I'm remorseful for everything that happened in 2017, for everything that we did as a group, and for the players that were affected directly by us doing this."
Whoa.
Well, of course, he's sitting in a locker room with a whole bunch of new guys.
But what does he say? That's the whole thing. It's like even McGuire has never really admitted steroids or exactly what he's done, right?
Yeah, let's see who's remaining on the team that says it, right?
I mean, that's what I think. I think they got rid of the GM. They got rid of the coach. They're going to eventually just get rid of all the players just to get the stink off of it, you know, and then hopefully start new.
There probably will be more of the same in the coming days with spring training beginning this week. Astros pitchers and catchers begin workouts Wednesday, February 17th. Oh, no, Wednesday.
Yeah.
And while the team's first full squad practice is scheduled for the 17th.
I mean, I'm gonna see them play in 2 weeks, so they've got to be there.
The cheating occurred during games played in Houston in 2017 and 2018. I guarantee you it was 2019 then.
Yeah.
They didn't get caught.
I mean, the biggest thing is, like, you hit the home run to win. That's, I mean, you hit a home run against a guy who never gets the home runs hit against him because you know exactly what he's throwing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing with batting against, what's his name? It's like, is it coming 106 miles an hour or is it coming at 80? Like, that's the whole, it changes every approach. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's guys that can't hit a curveball because they can't see the spin on the ball. Like, mm-hmm. It's all this, you know, fractional kind of thing. And if you take all that out,
yeah,
like, you know, anybody can hit a fastball.
Dirt balls.
Yeah.
Joe Torre, the Hall of Fame manager who now serves as MLB's chief baseball officer, cut through the standard review of ground rules and other on-field matters with an unusual no shenanigans warning. According to people familiar with the meeting, no cameras trained in dugouts or catching. You know. Yeah, so they just send a little message out. Where's that worm Altuve? Ugh, you got to have to host these guys? Oh, think about them coming into Yankee Stadium.
Oh, they're going to get booed.
Oh, I want to go to that game.
Yeah.
Forget opening day. Let's get tickets to that. The first home game against the Astros.
But we're supposed to be positive, Tom.
We are positive. It's rooting out the bad guys. This is my whole campaign. The bad guys have had a moment, and it's over.
That's right. That's what you said last night. That was a great show last night,
I'm
too, man.
I'm going to talk about that on Conan tomorrow.
You guys did Largo with Fortune and Zach Galifianakis and Nick Swartzen and yourself.
Yeah,
and
that was a fun show.
You guys were great.
That was a good show. I feel like we should do that regularly. I think that was a pretty good first test of the show.
Yeah, and you had all your morning radio people.
Yep.
How is that going? You're
good. It's going all right. It's good. The show seems like people like it, and it seems like you know, there's nothing better. You hang out with comedians, kind of like this. You just hang out with comedians and talk comedy all the time. You know, can't beat that. What's more fun than that?
Well, not getting up at 5 a.m.
Well, that part is very difficult. That part is really hard.
Because you threw me under the bus on Rogan. You said it was my fault that we're not doing the podcast. You didn't mention that you're getting up at 5 o'clock every morning.
When did I say that?
He was just talking about, like, the key to podcasts is, like, doing it regularly.
Yes. Did you hear that?
And you're like, yeah, is the guy I do it with, he was gone for a few weeks, and that was what did it.
Yeah, and it did, because our numbers went down.
I wasn't gone. I brought the stupid thing with me every week.
No, you were stuck in a boat somewhere.
No, I was ready to do it. You were starting that thing, and I just think it's
tough. We both had times. And look, it's hard, because we're comedians that have...
Well, I don't like bothering you because you have, like, a family and all that kind of stuff. So
I don't care, but I need to – I do flake. And I also forget, like, I don't – until I land someplace, like Detroit Lakes, I'm like, oh, I don't have my equipment.
Well, like, I don't bother you because I didn't even know you were in New York. So it's like if
you
I text
you – You can always bother. Who else in the world should be allowed to bother me other than my family than you.
Right.
You but never like, bother.
But like, so last week I text you like podcast tomorrow, and then like you texted me yesterday and you're like, I'm back. Are you back this week? So I don't know. I think you think that I know where you are all the time, but I do. Don't.
That is true.
But so I should text your wife and see you.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
But I'll always, you know, like,
No, but that was an interesting thing. And to our fans out there who listen, and if we end up not being consistent, we should be scolded for that, because it is difficult, especially when things ramp up. But, you know, the other thing is, you know, Joe does three a week.
See, but I don't even know that.
One shot, and it's always on Tuesday. And then if it's not on Tuesday, people get used to it. They get used. Yeah. It becomes like a destination.
No, I think that when...
I mean, here we are on, what's today, Tuesday?
Tuesday, yeah.
Yes, we did it. We did it.
We've done it pretty regularly. It's just, I think during holiday, like during December, we took some time off. And, you know, you started that, the morning thing. Like, that's, I can't believe you're doing all this anyway, so...
No, I know.
You're but still traveling more than me.
Well, so. Here's the thing, though, which we were talking about, which was a slight change in the podcast format, because you and I... created some bread videos that are up on YouTube now called Getting Baked with Tom.
Oh, right, yeah.
Based off of being in the kitchen and doing the bread. And we did a couple podcasts from the kitchen when we were just baking without videotaping anything. But now we're going to post we posted the first ones about making bread. And then there's a couple with Paul where he's eating bread. And I feel like what we should do...
Not only bread,
but people are into that, and we should post that up on YouTube.
Right.
We should do this podcast. Mm-hmm. Dare I say, change the name to Getting Baked, and have it just set in the kitchen.
Right.
And we do just like we're doing now, but we also put it up on YouTube, and also and then also have the tutorial bread baking videos. And we could also have guests come in.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like maybe we smush these two ideas together.
Right. It's just...
I think our people would like that.
But here's the four things that I do notice is, number one, when we are doing it regularly...
Yeah.
And we're touring...
Mm-hmm.
We do get a lot of people that are excited that, like, oh, yeah, I listened to you guys on Tuesday, and you said you were coming...
Yep.
...here, and, you know, and... And they'll talk to you about like what we talked about this week.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Fun meeting the fans out there.
And then, also the what was the other thing? So
you said four things.
I had four, and I didn't write them down. Like you. but I do notice that people loved when we went live. Like there was like a couple Facebook people that were like. I can only get on Facebook during, you know, I can't listen to stuff, but whatever, you know how people are. Like, there's some people only watch it up on YouTube. Some people only listen to podcasts. Some people only, you know, go on Facebook. I don't know who those people are, but, or Instagram, you know what I mean? So it's like, you need to satisfy all those people. And it seems like sometimes you like, there's some guys like, yeah, we used to watch you guys do the Facebook Live, but I can't listen to podcast at work or something. So
yeah, that's why it would be good to put it up on the YouTube. We got the channel.
Yeah. Well, you We're do now. It. Like, you mentioned it on Rogan, so it feels like you just did your first series of just making the bread, and then we're going to be taste testing, which your agent was fascinated that I ate something that we won't mention, but you got to see the next set of videos. When are you going to put those up?
That I want to get it up this week. We're working on it. We're trying to get through the edit. It's all done, but we're close. But yeah, maybe we smush them all together and just make this all Getting Baked. Why not? Yeah, and then I just feel like, you know, we talk about the positivity of it and moving it all forward. Well, what if we just go in the kitchen? And maybe we bring some other people in, and we bring, Bill can come by and have Bill Burr come in and sit and eat with us and chat along. I don't know. It might be something to jazz it up.
I mean, it's more of your call, because I feel like we initially started doing this because we didn't want to worry about having guests or going to a studio or any of that
stuff. But we do it casually. Like, we do it, you know.
No, I'm up for it. I've got to drive here anyway, so.
Right. Yeah. All right, we'll do that. I say we try it. Yeah, why not?
It's
the only big thing is, do we change the name?
Yeah, you've always been...
You've I don't always mind been changing about, the name, because the live show could still become the Papa.
Yeah, it's up to you, man. I think that you've been... I think if people Google Papa or Bread, that it's going to come up no matter what. So I think you're safe with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Maybe. And you even made Joe Rogan eat bread, even though he was on some weird kind of like...
Everyone always says
diet.
I made him eat it, but it's pretty funny how he just grabs it and devours it.
Here's the thing: I don't want to start like a flame war with Joe Rogan's listeners, but it seems like he definitely has things that he says he doesn't do, and then he does them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, I think it's a percentage thing, right? With all this stuff, it's like. You know, you say, well, I don't eat cheese anymore.
Right.
And then you're in a restaurant and someone brings it around. You're like, well, okay, but just tonight.
But he lost a ton of weight on some carnivore diet or something, right? Just eating all meat. And then when you're telling him, like, you can't even have bread, he's like, no, no. He's like, but I had birthday cake yesterday.
Yeah,
you know,
but I went to Disney World.
Yeah, it was it slowly, like, his story kind of collapsed.
Well, yeah. Well, no one can stick to that for that. More than 30 days, I think it's kind of cool.
But that's what I mean. He's almost like a poster person for, like, that thing. Mm-hmm. If he's, 'cause people are like, what did you do? And he's like, oh, I did this, and this helped me this way. It's almost like a commercial. He could sell his own stuff.
I know, which he does, I think.
But I did, the one time that I did eat dinner with him, I watched him eat two hamburgers and a chili dog. So he's definitely not like, not like a perfect
who is? I mean, today I was walking around, like, I'm not going to eat anything much today. I'm not going to eat too heavy carbs today. I walked in and saw bagels on my counter. I was like, before I knew it, I was already halfway through eating the bagel.
Yeah.
You don't even think anymore.
Well, I'm not saying, because you're not, you actually do stick to things and you don't try to make a point of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people that are like, I don't eat gluten. And then you see them like having like 10 beers.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's wheat and beer, you know? And they're like, oh, well.
Are you going to yoga?
What's that? I haven't gone. Because that last night was usually the class I go to. And I had a show and then I stopped by your thing and went to the Comedy Store for a minute.
Right.
It was a good thing. I'd been traveling so much that I hadn't been doing a lot of spots, and last week I did a ton of spots, got to see like a lot of old friends, and it was good just to like kind of get back to the community a little bit.
Yeah, it always feels good.
Because I feel like I've kind of been a vagrant or some kind of like vagabond.
No, that's hard, especially when you live in these places and then you end up on the road the whole time. It's like, why do I live in these places then? If I'm just going to be on the road the whole time, I might as well live in a place where I can get a mansion for $200.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, it's always been about like getting better at stand up in whatever way, whether it was going to Vietnam or doing these, you know. So like last week I was in a position where I had to do three different half hour shows, which is like a cool challenge, because usually you don't have to put yourself in that position, you know what I mean? Like, because not only do you have to structure them so they start strong and end strong, and then it's still kind of the same thing. So that was like a cool thing to kind of divide up your stuff and see what worked and what didn't, and then you kind of come up with, you know, it's like you're going through now when you're starting over, you're like, hey, this was this thing that I did a couple years ago and I never really, I forgot about it. And so,
yeah, let me try this one.
That's what I really need. It showed me I really need to archive my own stuff a little bit better and at least the kernels of ideas. You know, I don't know how good you are at like your actual files, like you're writing every day. But like George Carlin is the guy who literally had like folders in alphabet, and here's this one thing that I thought about, you know, grapes, and maybe that'll come up. I need to do that.
Ornie Adams did that.
Well, I mean, it works for some people. I don't know. No, I don't think like everything you come up with is like a perfect joke, but it's like...
But just that idea of keeping track of everything.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching Ornie in that documentary. I was like, that seems like a pretty good idea. It was a little crazy when he was going through it, but it was like,
right,
man, and Jerry's going to come out with a book in October that is all his act, and it's, the only reason he can do it is because he kept everything.
Right.
And categorized and cataloged it.
See, but I think... You know, I've made a point to, you know, I record shows, all that kind of stuff. And then I think to a certain extent, it becomes overwhelming, don't you? Like the, you don't even keep, like, I remember like pilots and different things that we did. Like, I try to keep all that stuff and you don't seem to have any of it anywhere. Right.
Yeah.
You kind of just let things go and then on to the next thing.
A certain amount of it, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm conflicted. Some stuff I want to save, but other stuff I'm just like, I don't know, what am I keeping this around for so my kids could throw it out in 50 years?
Well, no, my thing is like, well, is this an idea for the next, for this next thing? But then that becomes like an overwhelming thing because it's like, okay, here's something that doesn't work and you're trying to make it work. And it's just getting in the way of, like, a new idea that could be working.
Yeah. I think what our goal should be is to enjoy it more. Like, when you're going... Like, it should be... You end up, you know, running around promoting the special and stuff. You talking to a lot of comedians and having people come into the radio show on Sirius. You know, all that kind of stuff is... You just see the... There's so many people are working so hard and painting and trying to come up with the new hour, and everyone's like balled up and thinking about this and how do I do more on social and what more do I got to do? And it's like, we should forget. Not everybody, but a lot of people forget that you got into it because you just were a kid that was screwing around in school and having a good time.
Right.
And that kid should be allowed to enjoy this career. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, the part that gets in that the way of that is like, you know, it's the same thing with, you know, you're like, well, where did Paul go? And it's like, well, I got to pay the rent. So if I
can, exactly.
I have to do that too. So there's definitely still things that, you know, however many years I'm into it now that I still have to do with a few things just to pay bills. And, you know, I always try to make sure that this is first and this is a priority because,
you know,
especially just doing what I did, you know, 2 weeks ago, doing the spots and coming up with jokes, because I think it was Seinfeld that told you that, right? That like all that stuff that you worry about, all you have to do is worry about your act. And
right.
So that's kind of the thing I've been thinking about is like, well, how much have you worked on the act today? You've called agents, you've done paperwork, you got your oil changed, like
right.
Is this the day that you're going to work on the act? Are you going to sit down and, you know,
yeah,
and not even edit old stuff? Like, what about new stuff? Where's your new things coming in?
Yeah.
Where's your, you know, because there's so much of what my mindset is always trying to make things better, and you know, I also have to just focus on all the new ideas too. So
I know.
So that's been good about, like, especially getting excited about doing these shows with you, that I have, you know, a lot of new stuff that's working well that I can, like, you know, do in these places that we're going to, you know, these Florida things we're doing for the second time. So if we get some repeat people, that both of us will have new things to, you know,
yes,
have a new show. So that's important to me that, you know.
Right, exactly.
Every time we go, we're bringing something new and, you know, not taking advantage of goodwill.
Well, they'll be very excited to learn that we're coming in this time with puppets.
Right. And a guitar.
And tap dancing like the good old days. I'm excited. I'm excited for a nice little Florida run, be in the heat.
Yeah.
We should eat some good seafood. A lot of people have been hitting me up with bakeries lately.
Well, I know there's a ton of food because I only spent like a half a day in Key West, but there were so many cool places.
Mm-hmm.
And then Clearwater, like that whole area is really cool, like right on the beach and all these cool things going on. So
we don't have a ton of time there, but I'm thinking Well, we'll talk about it off air. But I'm thinking maybe going a day early, because you're going in early.
Yeah.
I think I was changing my flight. Maybe we can have an extra day in the Ponte Vedra area.
Well, that's what I got, yeah.
We're going to be like two snowbirds, just cruising around, eating dinner at 4.
Yeah.
Get to bed by 8, get up, do our exercises in the pool at 6 a.m. with all the old ladies. We got to get bathing caps, bathing suits.
Yeah, play some shuffleboard.
I know, we're going to run into all our parents will be there.
Yeah.
Different spots in Florida. We're going to see a lot of old people.
Well, that's the cool thing is they don't have anything to do. Nobody's working. So
they're just waiting for us to get down there. It's not for 2 weeks and they're all waiting.
Yeah.
This. What are you doing for Valentine's? Who's your Valentine?
Oh, well, that's a weird week, you know. Like I forget what you say that you do.
I'll be performing in Detroit Lakes,
yeah,
Minnesota.
I'm always
up
kind
near
of
Fargo.
I'm always kind of a. I think it's one of those things where I should perform on it. I always think about like leaving it open. I think I left this open because I told you like I completed my no fly January. Mm-hmm. People do dry January. I did no fly January.
How was it?
No airports. No flying.
Did it change your life? Did it make you feel like you don't want to fly again? Or did it refresh you?
I felt retired.
Yeah, that's bad. Or good.
So it was a little boring, but I did a Vegas corporate and a Sacramento show, and I drove to both of them. So
whenever I take a little break from that travel, you realize how intense the travel is that we do, and that you don't... Like you, when you're in it, you just barrel through it.
Right.
And then when you're away from it, you're like, well, that's pretty weird schedule.
Well, it's kind of, I also have a lot of like day before anxiety. That's why I do like fly the mm-hmm. day before a lot of places. Cause not only just that whole turmoil of getting to places on time, but also just the, you know,
yeah,
I don't know, just worrying about it. Like I don't sleep well the night before.
Yeah, exactly. It changes it when you have to be there. Here's a tip for you. If you're ever taking the red eye from San Francisco airport to New York and you want to sleep on the plane, don't eat the airport tuna fish before you get on the plane. Because you will have sharp pains in your belly for 6 straight hours.
And you'll smell more than you think you do.
Yeah. And then when you have no choice but to let the gas go, you're not going to have a lot of friends when you're getting off the plane.
Oh, my God.
It was brutal.
But here's the thing. For being a late night person, I do not do the red eye well. Kind of ruins my life for a couple days.
It does. It does ruin your life. But if you can get, like I was... in one of those beds and still couldn't sleep because I ate the airport tuna fish.
Like, I'll do a... Like, actually, I think my flight to Florida, I think it's like a 3 p.m. to midnight.
Mm-hmm.
So you get, you know, to East Coast at midnight, which is really only 9 o'clock your time.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of, like, have a somewhat normal sleep in that day type of thing.
Yeah.
Which for you is probably... ridiculous anyway, because you're getting up so early every day.
Yeah, I don't even know what time is anymore. We could be doing this at 8 in the morning, and I wouldn't.
You have a house full of people. I get stressed about like an alarm not going off, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so that's what really my anxiety is about, like oversleeping.
No, there's no oversleeping. On the one day I had where I could sleep, at 7 in the morning, there was a cat literally sitting on my head. Came in, no exaggeration. And then Bella was running outside, barking at the world, trying to wake everybody up. And
right.
There's no sleep. There's just no sleep. I haven't slept in 20 years. All right, go to paulhasawebsite.com and look up all of Paul's dates. We will be hitting the tour. Go to tompapa.com and look up all the 2020 tour dates.
Florida, Nashville, Atlanta, Florida again.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Baby. It's going to be a good time. Pre-order the book and do all the good stuff. Just go to our website.
And check out the special. You're doing great. Netflix.
Yeah. Watch it again and tell your friends. Enjoy your life.